This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Welcome to the first LRC podcast. I want to thank producer Chris Bruner and announcer Harvey Gold for helping get this enterprise on the road. Today, I'm not going to talk about Bush's and Cheney's rotten wars of aggression already going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, covertly going on against Iran, and they, of course, want to start a full-fledged open war against Iran. I'm not going to talk about their police state measures, although all these things are, of course, very much worth talking about, and I will be talking about exactly these kinds of issues in future podcasts. And by the way, it won't just be me talking all the time. I want to have interviews. Eventually, we're going to be able to have phone calls, and very much welcome your phone calls, and of course, welcome your emails as to things you'd like to hear discussed or you don't want to hear discussed. Just drop me a note at lourockwell@mac.com. But today, I'm going to talk about, I'm sure, the thing that's on your mind like it's on my mind, the economy. What exactly has the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, entire power elite in Washington, D.C., and profiting from our monstrous-sized government, what exactly have they done to us? Are we in a slowdown, a slight hiccup, as some of the establishment would like you to believe? Are we in a recession? Are we in the beginning of a depression? Murray Rothbard always used to point out that in the 19th century, these downturns like this, which are the result of government action always and everywhere, called panics and crashes. That came to be considered too alarming, and so they came up with the word depression as a euphemism, if you can believe it. You know, depression implying just a slight, you know, if you think of a table and maybe a slight depression on the table, just a little something wrong. Then, of course, depression became too hot a word after Herbert Hoover's and Franklin Roosevelt's monstrous 30s and 40s destruction of American freedom and American prosperity. So then they adopted the word recession. That, of course, became too hot again. But we're definitely in a recession, very deep and long recession, I'm sorry to say. Probably a depression, certainly what we may even be facing something worse than the Great Depression. Let's think about the Great Depression for a moment. It was the result of what the Federal Reserve did, pumping up the money supply during the 1920s. Fed was established in the evil year of 1913, which we also had the income tax and the direct election of senators, which was a terrible blow to the decentralization and the divided sovereignty that Jefferson and the other framers had designed, and a move towards centralization of government. And, of course, we all know how bad the income tax is. But the worst thing that those guys did in 1913, Woodrow Wilson and Taft and the Republicans, too, wasn't just the Democrats. This was a bipartisan monstrosity, like all the monstrosities today. Both parties cooperated in oppressing us. So the Federal Reserve was set up to inflate. Now, sometimes you'll hear the Federal Reserve, I heard Ben Bernanke today talking about concerns about inflation. We had to be concerned about inflation as if it were some extraneous force of nature. Inflation is caused only by the central bank. Only the central bank can increase the money supply. Think of the Federal Reserve, in shorthand terms, as a giant counterfeiting machine. They're able to dilute the value of all the existing dollars to the benefit of the government, to the benefit of the government contractors, the big banks, and other institutions who are the closest to the federal government. So the Federal Reserve financed World War I with massive inflation. There was a bust after that that took place in the 1920s. But because Warren G. Harding, one of my favorite presidents, because he was pretty much a do-nothing president, although he did some great things too. He pulled the U.S. troops out of Haiti. He freed Eugene Debs, the socialist leader who had been monstrously put in jail and his life and his health destroyed by Woodrow Wilson for the fact that he opposed the draft during World War I. That was a crime. He was jailed, and so Harding let him out. But most of the time, Harding was spent drinking, gambling, having a great time, having a party, exactly the sort of thing a president ought to be doing rather than regulating the economy, running our lives, or attempting to run the world. Because Harding was president, because the Federal Reserve had not set up quite the monstrous structure that it was later to have, they didn't intervene in the economy. Also, the Congress tended to be a more conservative bunch in the sense of reluctant to intervene. And so there was a very short, sharp depression after World War I. Unfortunately, one of the effects of this, and by the way, this shows what happens in a free a mostly free economy, if the government doesn't try to intervene to fix the depression, it's over with very quickly and there's a basis for new growth and for new prosperity. But in the 1920s, after that short depression, the Federal Reserve started turning the printing presses. And when this happens, when they inflate through the banking system, they lower the interest rate below the market rate. And as a result of this, entrepreneurs borrow all sorts of money, engage in all kinds of projects that seem to be just to make very profitable and to make terrific economic sense. It's all an illusion, though, because once the artificial boom is over, these things turn out to have been disasters. So during the 1920s, we had not a general increase in the level of prices, as Murray Rothbard showed in his book, America's Great Depression. And by the way, just a quick mention, if you are interested in learning about economics, or for that matter, the cause of liberty, you can't do better than reading Murray Rothbard. What a wonderful writer he was, what a great genius, what a great economist, a political philosopher, and a man of letters. I mean, just an extraordinary person. On the left-hand side of lewrockwell.com, on the left-hand side of the front page, you'll see a link to the Rothbard collection. Click on that and you'll see America's Great Depression, his other economic books, History of American Banking and Money, another great book of his about how the case against the Fed, what government has done to our money. All these books can help you understand what the heck is happening to us today. So the Federal Reserve, as he showed, massively increased the money supply in the 1920s. Just like this most recent boom, again caused by the Federal Reserve, we did not see an increase, a big increase in consumer prices. In the 1920s, there was, of course, a vast stock market boom, also some commercial real estate booms, Florida land booms, and others. And it all came to the end, of course, with starting with Black Monday in 1929, the big stock market crash. And Herbert Hoover, who was the president, a Republican, it was almost as if he had said, how can I make this depression last as long and be as deep and as damaging and as horrible as possible? Franklin Roosevelt did the same thing. And one of the things they did was to artificially attempt to keep prices up. It's necessary for prices to fall during one of these busts because we think what's happened since 9/11, we've seen houses go up at a tremendous rate, at a tremendously unsustainable rate. It's necessary for housing prices to come down. In the 1930s, it was necessary for wages to fall, for prices to fall. And yet the government did everything possible to keep prices up. This had the effect of lengthening and worsening the depression. The depression wasn't over until 1946. Stock prices didn't regain their 1929 levels until 1954, 25 years later. So no telling how long this particular recession is going to be. Or is it a depression? Is it a panic? Is it a crash? It's trouble, whatever word we put on it. Now, of course, the government is telling us, don't worry, everything is fine. Why, all they have to do is just print more money and use it to bail out the two giant mortgage resellers, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These are institutions, ironically, created by Franklin Roosevelt as state institutions in the 1930s under Richard Nixon, the horrible Nixon, privatized them. But they only really became massive players in the market in the last 10 or 11 years. They purchased mortgages from banks and then resell them as in securities. Of course, it turns out that because of federal regulations, as well as the general insanity of a boom period, that all kinds of people who should not have been getting mortgages or should not have been getting as large mortgages or should not have been getting mortgages under the terms that they got them got the mortgages. And as a result, once the bust comes, they can't pay. They walk away. We have all the foreclosures. So what does the government try to do? Rather than let the housing prices fall, which may be bad news for those of us who currently own houses, but it's very good news for those who would like to own a house. But regardless, it has to happen in order for the economy to cure itself, for us to get back on a sound footing. But instead, they're massively taxing the rest of us. They're increasing prices at a horrendous rate. We already have terrible inflation, price inflation. Go to as of today, I noticed that producer price index, according even to the government's figures, is up more than 9% in the last calendar year. Now, since the government statistics always underplay these events for political reasons, you can know for sure that really producer prices and consumer prices, for that matter, are already running in double digits. So we have that problem. We have the depression that they've put us into. There are going to be job losses, more bankruptcies. And what is the government doing? What is President Bush doing? While they're trying all kinds of really fundamentally totalitarian things. They plan, for example, to abolish short selling in the stock of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And there's talk about abolishing short selling altogether. Now, this is a crazy populist, statist idea, typical of communists and Nazis. Always hated speculators, too. And so do the present regime in Washington. Short selling does not cause the market to go down. In fact, short selling actually helps even out some of the volatility in the stock market, both on the upside and the downside. So by getting rid of it, not only is it a violation of the rights of investors, but it makes the economy worse, makes the stock market even more volatile. But we can expect to see stocks go down. We can expect to see other asset prices fall that have been pumped up. On the other hand, many other things are going up in price. As we know, energy, gasoline, that's even without another war on Iran. So they really have put us in a pickle, or as the late Alfred Kahn put it, a banana. Alfred Kahn, a very funny economist from Cornell who was chairman of the Civil Aeronautics Board under Jimmy Carter. And by the way, Jimmy Carter abolished two government agencies, the Interstate Commerce Commission and the Civil Aeronautics Board. Very tough to think of Republicans doing that, or of course rather add to the federal government with all kinds of new agencies. So Kahn, during the very real recession under Carter, referred to it as a recession, and he was called to the White House to be scolded over that. And he came out afterwards, and he said to the assembled press that he'd been taken to the woodshed, was told not to say that word. So he wasn't going to say that word anymore. He was going to refer to it as a banana. But he said, folks, we're in a banana. Well, we're in a banana right now, and maybe a banana split. We've got very serious economic troubles. We've got a crew in Washington who are doing everything possible to make it worse. We've got a media that sees absolutely nothing wrong with more socialism, more inflation, never sees a downside to something like the vast bailout they're talking about for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The federal government has, in effect, taken on the $5 trillion in debt that these two fascist state institutions, corporate state institutions, are responsible for, and put that in, added that to the federal debt. There's no telling what's ahead. Franklin Roosevelt wanted a war in part because, as a Keynesian, he thought this would help with the economy. Funny thing about Keynesians, they tend to think that things like mass murder and property destruction are good for the economy. Of course, they're not good for the economy, although they may be good for the military-industrial complex. And maybe that's all Mr. Bush, Mr. Cheney, and the rest of the crew in Washington care about. But they've put us into very bad economic times. I'm going to talk in future podcasts about maybe some things that we can do as individuals to try to protect ourselves in this time. But one thing we have to do is educate ourselves about what they've done to us, why it's happened, and how we can hope to prevent something similar in the future. So I would say to you, the first thing to do, read Rothbard. Any of Rothbard's books on economics. Start with a short one. Start with What Has Government Done to Our Money? He probably is the best writer among serious economists in all of history. Look at his little book on the case against the Fed. Couldn't be a more appropriate book these days. The Mises Institute is bringing out very shortly his wonderful book on fractional reserve banking, The Mystery of Banking, and that's online on PDF. If you go to mises.org, mises.org, you can read that book. And that brings me to the final topic today, the banking system. It's not a coincidence that we're having runs on banks, IndyMac in Pasadena, California. No large American bank or large regional bank is stable. In fact, all banks are fundamentally bankrupt because of the fact that they're allowed to hold fractional reserves, and they're allowed to, in effect, commit fraud. They get this special permission from the government in return for the aid they give the government in financing the government with the central bank. But no bank is actually fundamentally sound. But the big banks, the big regional banks, the big national banks, Citibank, and the big thrifts, Washington Mutual and so forth, they're all in trouble. And again, we've got very serious trouble ahead. So we need to read, educate ourselves about why we're in this situation, what we can do about it, And I would also argue that we need to get angry at the people who've done this to us. This is not a matter of error. These are not people who've made an error and didn't really mean it and by mistake have put us into this situation. These are people who have ripped us off. They have ripped off the average American with their inflation, their spending, their wars, their regulations, all for the benefit of the government itself and the special interests connected to the government, which, folks, does not include you and me. So tune back into the LouRockwell.com podcast. I think and hope we're going to have some things to say that will interest you. If you have comments, suggestions, criticisms, I want to hear them. Email me at LouRockwell@mac.com. And until next time, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertising@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.